Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Happy Saturday to all of you guys in the room today. It's a manwich, is what it is. Because I've got myself, I've got Forrest.
Hello.
And we've got Nia in the middle.
Hi.
Yeah, she is. Yes. And this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program's about having fun. We talk about the past week and enlighten your day with a little bit of laughter.
That's right. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about. But damn it, we still do.
Those things that connect us all and make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter, if Elon allows it, or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or a good old-fashioned email, yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
That's right. We got a big show for you guys today. We've got a lot of things going on. We're going to be talking about the McRib. We're going to be talking about the World Series, the first game last night with Oz Davis. The passing of two greats. Also, cocktails for your Halloween party. And Kanye West with all the business that he's been doing. And, of course, our favorite Halloween candy. And the Pope even calls in.
What? Hey, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, just subscribe through iTunes, our iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and please tell the world what you think of us, so please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Today's theme song is Cats in the Cradle by Ugly Kid Joe. This is the remake that they did back in the late 80s. And, of course, any of the music that we're playing on our show here, you can download from our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Click on the Amazon banner and bookmark and shop to your heart's delight, because you know what? Holiday season is right around the corner, folks. Hopefully you got your costumes already through Amazon. If not, you got to get your all your turkey stuff ready through Amazon. And Christmas, oh boy, look out.
Yep, we're getting ready.
But here's the big question, though. Why are we playing this song today? We don't know.
Maybe we'll tell you.
Maybe you do. And if you guys can figure it out, you guys can get a free Your Weekly Dose t-shirt. Just email us your answer at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com. Last week, the winner was David from Norwalk, Indiana. He won the t-shirt last week because we played Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry and Marty McFly. And it was because for Back to the Future Day.
Wait, so Sean, 2 weeks ago, our listener Michelle was from the winner from Norwalk, California.
And now Norwalk Indiana.
So there's a theme. I hope someone today is listening from Norwalk, Connecticut.
Hey, you never know.
Maybe they'll win.
You never know.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Ooh, hey, and we tagged that just perfectly. That was awesome.
Rehearsal paid off.
We rehearsed.
Rehearsal.
I rehearsed in the 80s. What are you talking about? Oh, my gosh. Well, should we catch up with each other?
Catching up.
Because we've got a lot to talk about. Well, the first person I want to ask about what is going on, because we haven't seen her for a little bit, is the lovely Nia.
Hi.
My second favorite redhead.
Fair.
Well, yeah, I married one, so I got to say she's my first.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. How was last week? Because you went to the film festival.
Yes.
How was that?
Newport Beach Film Festival.
Nice.
No, it was amazing. Yeah, the premiere was so fun of the influencer short film, because there was also a feature. And so whenever I tell people like I was with the influencer, they're like, oh yeah. And I was like, no, the short film.
Oh, there was a feature by the same name?
Yes, there's a feature called Influencer. And there was our short film was called The Influencer. And so I had to, when I introduced, I was like, the short film, The Influencer.
Mm. I wouldn't have said anything. I would say, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, go check it out. Absolutely. Want my autograph?
Right. Yeah, right? Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was funny, too, because, like, after the premiere, there was someone who, like, recognized me from Ketstarver Studios, which I wasn't used to. Like, someone just came up to me, and they were like,
hey. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's like, that was, like, kind of the first time that someone's come up to me and be like, hey, I know you from, you know? Where, besides, you know, like, if someone knows you from, like, school or whatnot.
Right, but, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, when they know you, I mean, this is what's going through their head. Oh, my God. Do you see who that is?
Ketstarver Studios.
Oh, my God. I'm in love with her. Look at her. Her hair's so red. Look at her smile. It's so big. Oh. Look at the way, look at her dress. It's so awesome. Oh, I hope she's a nice person.
I try to be.
So how'd it go?
Nice.
Did you sign autographs or did you?
I didn't sign autographs,
no. Okay.
But
shared Instagrams with people.
Yeah, I shared Instagrams with people.
Good.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, people coming up to you and just being, you know, appreciation for like what you do, and yeah, it was cool. And then I ended up. It was funny. I went to one event, met people there, got invited to their premiere, so went to that premiere. Then from there, got invited to an after party. Went to that after party. Then from there, got invited to like a. after party. Mm-hmm. Went to that the next day, went to an event that I got invited from the after party people.
Oh,
so I went to this event and it was a Q&A with Adam Sandler, and then after that I hung out with like some people from the other night. And then I went to another mixer thing, and then another, like, it was like I went to like 8 events in like 24 hours, and it was insane, but it was so fun.
So many after parties.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I met some really just, like, wholesome, great people who, you know, I really hope to, like, work on in projects one day, because, like, I just love their energy. And, yeah, like, I was super grateful for just all the fun experiences and
nice.
Meeting all these new people. It was amazing.
Nice.
That's fun. I'm so
yeah.
happy for you that
Thank
you got
you.
To be a part of it. Now, overall, how did the film do at the film festival?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I mean,
did it get a good response? Did it get good reviews? Or
I don't think there was like any reviews per se or anything. Like, I don't think any like media covered it. But I mean, there were people coming up to, you know, me and, well, Matt wasn't like in the thing, so like people didn't know that he was the director just because, you know, you don't have a face
right,
when you see the name.
Right.
But yeah, people were coming up to me and like, you know, I mean, going out of your way to, like, go up to someone to just, like, say that it's great. I mean, we got some great feedback from that.
That's good.
And, great. Yeah.
Great.
No, that's good. That's always good to hear, because sometimes you never know how, you know, because you put your whole heart and soul into something.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, how is it going to go over with the festivals? You know,
yeah.
And also that, and just knowing this from my friend Justin, because he's done a number of the festivals too and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you putting the film in the right ones?
Yeah.
Is it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because every film fest is different.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was also a great learning opportunity to just like hear about, you know, different film fests and which ones are, and just like the different like communities there are and all that. Like, and even just like meeting some, you know, I met a lot of the programmers, and it was... And also, one of the good responses that we did get was a programmer told me, and she's a feature film programmer. She's like, I remember your short, like, came across my desk in the office, and that means that it was really good.
Wow.
Because she doesn't, like, that doesn't usually happen.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, so I would, just to hear that, like, our short film came across, you know, a feature films program, like, programmer, I was like, I mean, that seems like a good thing. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you get responses like that from people going, oh, I saw this or I
yeah,
saw that,
yeah.
it came across my desk or whatever, you know,
yeah.
it kind of lets you know that it is getting out there to some of the right people.
Yeah, yeah. And she said, like, it's, yeah, that, like, the people in the office were definitely, like, saying that it was, like, something special. And that's why I, like, came across her desk. And I think that's, like, great that we got that feedback from her. And,
yeah. Any little feedback like that kind of lets you, it kind of lets you know that you're on the right path.
Yeah.
Of either,
yeah.
As an actor or actress, picking the right projects.
Yeah.
You know, or as a director, picking the right projects, yeah. or the work that went into it.
Yeah. And I mean, I was just thinking about this over the, like, just afterwards and stuff, and even when I was at the festival, but it was just such an honor to even be an actor in a festival with other projects that, you know, Eddie Redmayne are in, and Jennifer Lawrence and Sadie Sink. Like, they were in films that were in the festival. And I think that's, like crazy to think about, you know? Like, it's like these...
Well, they're always doing little side projects here and there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, like, I think it was an incredible honor just to be in, like, the same, not the same program, because we weren't in, like, the same division or whatnot, because there's, like, all the different labels, but, like, to just be in the same film festival as some of these, like, you know, big actors that I really look up to is just, like, an honor. And I, it was just amazing.
It kind of shows you that you are this small community.
Yeah,
I always jokingly say freaks and geeks, because, you know, it's like in this industry, you always wonder, where am I going to fit in?
Yeah.
You know, am I good enough for this or that or whatever? And, you know, some of us go through transformations and everything. And other times it's, you know, you just kind of stay the same. But because you're picking the right projects or this and that, you still get that notoriety. And people look past those other things or whatever and see for who you are as a person. Which I think is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, it was
awesome.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Well, I'm happy for you, sweetheart. I'm glad. I'm so glad that you guys, got in and everything.
Congrats.
Yeah.
And it got some decent reviews and some good feedback and everything. So very proud of you. Very, very proud
you.
Of you.
That's cool.
Absolutely. How about you, bud?
Well, I'm on the sort of similar wavelength as Nia here, where my son, Henry, my younger son, he was 12 at the time, a couple years ago, wrote a short story for English class called Black Hand Reaper about an incompetent detective tracking a serial killer. It was very funny. It was very, like, it was very Naked Gun. Yes, like this kind of detective. He's never seen Naked Gun, but it reads like a Naked Gun kind of spoof of cop shows or detective shows. Anyway, it's COVID. They've been under the roof for 2 years almost, and, you know, just kind of going stir crazy. And I said, why don't we film this thing? And he said, we could do that. And I pulled together some friends. This was last year before I joined the show, and I pulled together some friends. And we scripted it out from what he wrote as a story.
Uh-huh.
We filmed it over a weekend, and we edited it. And I said, I'm going to send this to film festivals. And he was like, we can do that. Like, and
really?
I said, I wrote this. Yeah, we can.
Wow.
And it got into its first festival.
Oh, wow.
And so next week we're going to be traveling to go to watch the premiere of it.
That's amazing.
Dude.
And it's just
see, now I want to go now.
Yeah. I mean, it's
where's the premiere?
It's in so it's really funny because when you talked about where you fit in, I said this is a very campy kind of film. It's very funny. It's not going to fit in at every festival that takes itself very seriously. So I went to certain festivals that have this kind of, like, feel and tone to it.
Yeah.
And this one is a small town in Wisconsin where we're from, where half of my family's from. And it's near, like, kind of the Minnesota border.
Oh, yeah.
A very family. Kind of a family, down-to-earth, sort of independent film festival. And all their films are really, of this certain feel. So anyway, we're
really
excited.
Basically like watching the Hallmark Channel.
No, don't insult my son that way.
Damn.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know what also, like, about film festivals that's amazing is, like, there's some really cool ideas that filmmakers, you know, brought to the screen. And I think that the beauty of, like, not going with a studio to produce it is that it doesn't, you know how sometimes you could just tell that it's just, like, studioized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, it's just that there is this blanket that came over it where, like, the producers edited it down so much where that it's almost the same as, like, a ton of different stories, versus, like, these are, you know, people with different perspectives that get to tell their story in the way that they want to, instead of the studio putting their blanket
right
over it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just on that note, we really wanted to remind the audience the whole time that a 13-year-old was making this film, whereas it wasn't like Marvel, Disney yeah. sort of like right. like yeah. through the ringer kind of like thing. So yeah. so it's constantly reminding you that a kid was making this movie, and I think it's got a really fun flair to it.
I think
what's
interesting is that with technology today, you know, and I remember hearing something a few years back, about 5-6 years ago, where there was a film that went to festival, and the whole thing was shot on iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's even like Apple Plus originals and stuff that were shot on iPhones.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, and the newer ones are really good.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you can do that. You know, you don't have to go out and buy a camera per se anymore.
Not
it's
really.
Like, okay, just get a really good iPhone.
Uh huh.
You know, and then start shooting on that, and then edit in there, and
yeah,
and away you go.
It's becoming more common, isn't it, Nia?
Yeah, yeah.
iPhone movies?
Yeah. I mean, you know, even, like, famous filmmakers nowadays, they're saying, like, you can shoot on anything. Like, you know, it really isn't about the technology. It's about, like, how you use the technology.
Mm.
Exactly yeah. true.
Because it's really, like, and I think this goes with anything, but it's just about utilizing your resources. Like, you know, like, you don't have to have a $5 million budget to do a good film. You just have to, you know, work with what you have. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to be hard. Any filmmaking process is hard. Like, it's not easy. It took, like, you know, 6 months to film the Passion Project on and off, you know, like
right.
it's like it's not an easy process. But like, when you have a story that you are really passionate about and that you really love, like, it's 100% worth it at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, you can say the same thing about music too, because
oh, yeah.
you know, it's like, it's how you use the equipment.
Exactly.
I mean, like, every time I do an album,
yeah.
You know, I mean, yes, I'm doing it in a DAW, a digital audio workstation. So, you know, something like Pro Tools, you know.
Yeah.
I don't use Pro Tools because I don't like it, but sorry. sorry, not sorry. but the thing is, though, is that I have endless audio tracks to mm-hmm. use. Excuse me. And the thing is, though, is that I try to compare what I do to the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole thing was done on 4 tracks. If I can't put together an album sonically
mm-hmm.
that sounds as good as that,
mm-hmm.
then something's wrong with me as an engineer, or I hired the wrong engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they did all of that on 4 tracks. I should be able to do at least something in 16 or 24
yeah.
tracks.
Yeah.
You know, and so, for me, that's the challenge that I always do going into a studio now.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear these songs like, oh, yeah, it's 124 tracks. What the hell for?
That's
you
so,
know, you used a track up for not even 3 seconds just so you can get the, and that's it. And that's now is a track.
Mm-hmm.
Mull it all down, you know, to something more simplistic or whatever. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You yeah, know, and if the Beatles
about,
yeah. and if the Beatles can do it on a 4-track, you know, or knowing that Brian Wilson did Pet Sounds on an 8-track,
mm-hmm.
which is the second greatest album
mm-hmm.
recorded,
mm-hmm.
you know, sonically, it's like, then I should be able to do something equivalent or better within 16 to 24 tracks on my computer then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about, you know, it's really all about just, like, being creative and using what you got.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
seeing,
you're absolutely
like, the
right.
best that you can do out of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, another example, too. Years ago, I had some friends of mine that I was going to help them record some songs for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I set it up to do it at a college because a friend of mine was taking an audio engineering class there. They would have had their 5 songs done for free in an actual studio.
Mm-hmm.
But they were too impatient, and they trusted a guy because he had the latest and greatest equipment at the time. And like you said, 6 months go down and they hardly had any results. And then they came to me and said, hey, can you record us? But we need to do something acoustically. Sure, no problem. And with what little equipment I had and my cassette deck, a 4-track machine, I basically was able to record them live, and it sounded 10 times better than what they were doing on the better equipment.
Because also, if someone doesn't know how to use the better equipment,
right.
then it doesn't do you any good.
And that was it, because they trusted him only because he had the better equipment. That's the only reason why they went to him. I said, what are his credits? What has he produced? What has he re-engineered? I go, I don't trust him. because of those reasons. I said, I'm trying to get you guys into with somebody that knows at least what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then to mix it. And it's a studio at a college, an actual recording studio.
Yeah.
And it's doing it for free. You know, and you're going to be using, you know, a 24 track, you know, 2-inch tape for free. But yet you want to go with this because it's the latest and greatest. And that guy doesn't even know how to operate it.
Yeah. Because even if you have like $20,000 camera, like if you don't know how to use it, it won't do you
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need that.
Yeah, because people like that are going, oh, where's the button to take the picture?
Yeah. Yeah, we filmed this with probably close to a 10-year-old Sony camcorder.
Oh, wow.
That is out of, what do you call it, not current at all. But my point was to teach my son how to complete a project.
Yeah.
Right. More than be like, let's get stuck on the technology before we even begin shooting and argue about what we're going to shoot on. No, let's get this done.
No, let's get it done. Learn how to frame.
Correct.
Learn how to do this. Learn how to get that done.
Yeah, get to the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. Set up your first shot, your second shot, you know, your wide shots, whatever.
And you know, your first project is always your biggest learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's really just about getting started.
Yeah.
Like, you learn so much when you just, like, you can only learn so much in class with, like, other students.
Right.
You know, like, when you get into the industry and you get on set for, like, with other, like, professionals, then you learn so much more. Mm-hmm. I feel like I learned way more on set than I ever do.
Well, because you're immersed into the actual thing itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Like, because it's like class is a bubble, and once you get out of that bubble, you realize how different the industry is.
That's why I love going when friends of mine are recording. I go, can I sit in on the session?
Oh my gosh, I love helping. Like, I will go on set anytime, anywhere. Like, I love helping my friends out, and any time that I can support their projects, I'm there.
Well, not just for helping, but I mean, just the fact that they might be working with a different producer.
Yeah.
And I can go, okay, why'd you do that? What was the reason for that?
Learning is amazing,
Or learning different techniques of recording an amplifier, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I've used those techniques in my own recordings that I've produced, you know. So to me, it's like I'm like a sponge. I'm like, why are you doing that? What's the little trick here?
Right.
What's the little trick there, you know,
kind
of thing. So I love going and watching friends' session and just being that fly on the wall and watching the engineer and or producer make decisions, you know, kind of a thing, and figure it out. So to go on set and to learn this and to learn that. Or whatever. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know? And I'm a very, like, hands-on type of learner. Like, I forgot the term, but...
kinesthetic?
Yeah, I think kinesthetic, Because, like, if I don't know how to do something, if I start to do it, I learn from that way more than when I'm just, like, told instructions in text or on a piece of paper. I'm like...
That's good to know?
Well, that's the thing about, I think, anything that's artistic.
Yeah.
Is you can be told to go, okay, happy trees, you know, or whatever. But then to actually do it, you know, it's another thing. Mm-hmm. You've got to practice that. You go, because that person made it look so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of go, oh, man, I really suck.
Last thing with my son's film is there's a second festival that it got accepted into that's online only.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's an interesting different kind of thing. So if you look up the Liftoff Film Festival, and in program one is the Black Hand Reaper, my son's film, it's doing votes, and then the top vote getting films get to screen in person.
How do we vote?
You go to Liftoff Film Festival, and you find Program 1, which features the Black Hand Reaper, and you look it up and you vote for it.
You know what I'm so sorry for is I wasn't paying attention. Can you tell me how to do it again?
So, en español. Película. The Black Hand Reaper. It's a film in Program 1 of the Liftoff Film Festival. Uh-huh. It's an online festival at first, and then the winners go and screen at... in London at the Pinewood Studios and in LA at the Raleigh Studios. SAP button. Thank you. That's I'm really excited for my son. Just a chance
that's
for him
great.
To get something out there. So
Let's see if we can put a link or email me a link or whatever so we can put it up on our Facebook page.
That'd be great.
And it's amazing, like, and also just like props to you for like supporting him in this. Like, that's amazing of you to have, like, because parental support is so important. Like, it's like, you know, people go on and like do their own independent things without their parents' approval all the time, but like when do you have Sean just raising his hands but like when you have like parental like approval and like not only approval but support, like it means way more to kids than like they'll ever say.
I second that, Nia. That's huge. Because even my parents, who were like, theater, really?
Exactly. That's the reaction most of us.
You know,
get.
Yeah.
They still in the end supported me, but I could tell in the beginning they were like, how are you going to eat? Well, and it was
that's just it, because I think our parents were in that generation of you go to work, you earn a living, mm-hmm. whatever.
Well, even my parents are like that, though.
Yeah, you're used to that.
Your generation, you know?
But that's because it's been
Sorry,
handed down.
You guys are older.
She just called you old.
I know, right?
Okay,
Wait a minute. I'm in that category, too.
I think Sean's more of like, well, my dad's like 60, but I think Sean's more in like the, he could definitely be old enough to be my dad.
Oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
I could have had a 21.
You're like, yeah.
Because Roman's only 3 younger
exactly.
years than you, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's 10 a.m. It's time for dinner now, Sean. So, all right, got to wrap this up.
Wait, can I take my nap now first?
We got to eat dinner, then we'll nap.
But no,
see,
it's...
you are eating. They wondered how you were going to eat. You
yes,
are eating
I'm
fine.
Eating.
Yeah.
But no, it's true. Like, to have that parental support, it's so important, you know. And, you know, for me, it was almost split or whatever, because my mom was really worried, you know, like, you know, it's such a hard life. It's such this, it's such that, you know, kind of a thing. And it's really, really difficult to deal with it because they, as parents, you worry, you know, and I, as a parent now, I understand that, you know, because she wanted me to be a professional, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And I always joke that my mom's, you know, we're actually, you know, Catholic, we're actually Jews hiding as Catholics. Because, you know, it's like, why don't you become a doctor or an attorney, you know? And, okay, if you're not that smart, maybe an accountant, you know, kind of a thing. So, you know, but it was that worriness of, is he going to make it? Is he going to do this? Whatever, you know? But here it is so many years later, you know, and I've stuck to my guns and everything. And, you know, it's taken a lot. But now my mom is like my biggest supporter now. You know, it's like, how did the gig go? Or how did this go? How did that go? How's rehearsal right now? You know, because with the two different bands, you know, how did rehearsal go? So, and I can tell you, and now she's very genuine because she knows for 30 years I haven't changed anything, you know, and I stuck to my guns with it. And, you know, and she knows that she can stand back and look at the things I've done in the entertainment industry and go, wow, I'm proud of him. He's done this. He's done that, you know, and then turn around and look at based upon what I've chosen as a career. I've been able to have a family, you know, get married, have a family, provide for them as well. Has it been rough at times? Of course it has.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even my friend Cress Williams, you know, who starred in Black Lightning, you know, title role, you know, here he is 52 being a superhero, you know, and. Even his career has had its ups and downs.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But he's had those moments where he's gotten on a good series and lasted 5 years here. The next 4-6 years, it hasn't been that great. But then he gets on something else. Then he's on something else for another 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Black Lightning lasted 6 seasons, you know.
That's really good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You know.
Because, like, even the statistics of, like, series getting picked up and stuff is, yeah, there's a lot of it that we don't see.
Yeah.
And then outside world of like stuff that a series doesn't always get picked up after
right.
the pilot.
And what's really nice now is that, you know, I get to see him as an action figure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, holy cow, you know, kind of a thing,
right.
You know, but it is what it is. You know, it is a tough industry and parents do worry, but yeah, encourage because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You really never know.
No.
So, but one thing I do know for sure though. Is
we'll catch up with you later.
No, well, last night though, did you guys watch the game?
Oh yeah, most of it.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe what happened. And today to talk about game one of the World Series is our buddy,
woo,
our pal, Mr. Oz Davis. Oz, how are you?
Woo! I love the woo. That was great.
What a game last night.
Yeah. But before congratulating the 2022 Philadelphia Phillies for winning game one of the World Series, I should congratulate Nia and Forrest for your creative successes. Way to go, guys.
Thank you.
Wow, that was scary.
I know, that was like in sync.
Yes.
We almost like, after a sec, we made eye contact and it was like Bluetooth.
Yes.
You know?
Woo! So, as Captain Jean-Luc Picard would say, nicely done. Nicely done.
Nice.
And nicely done was that game last night. I think it was after kind of a blah season. I mean, realistically speaking, when you had a few teams just smoking everybody and nobody really hitting at all. This game like really highlighted what's awesome about baseball and about the World Series. You know, just sort of instant history kind of feeling to this game. We can start with teams when, and they showed this stat during the game, teams when leading by five or more runs going into this game were 589-18. 589 wins in 607 games in this situation, and now they're 589-19. Now that's a success rate of 97%. Okay,
crazy.
And this was right. And after the first three innings, it looked like exactly what we expected we were going to get. You know, the Astros blowing out the Phillies. You know, they come out, they get five runs in the first three innings, and they're at that magic 97% rate. You know, all due, or we shouldn't say all due, but mostly due to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, he hits two home runs in the first three innings. All of a sudden, the guy looks like the World Series MVP, and we're like, you know, 1-12 through the series. And I just wanted to say this, you know, Tucker is one of the hottest guys in this series right now. In the first 6 months of the season, he had 23 home runs. In September and October, he has 11.
Ooh, yeah.
So basically, he's tripling his output right now. So for a while, this looked like the Kyle Tucker game, right? But here come the Phillies. They scrapped their way back. They started in the fourth with a double by JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be important. He's going to come back, right? So here we go. So starting in the sixth, things kind of settle down. But then Realmuto takes the foul ball to the face mask, right? And the face mask comes flying. I mean, that thing looked like it exploded like a Formula One car, basically. It just broke off into a couple of pieces. Now,
it looks scary.
In August, this same dude took two of these in the same game in the face, and he was out for like a week with concussion. So this was a major, you know, point of concern here, right? And they stopped the game, but he was okay, stayed in the game. All right. So in the eighth, you know, things are still slow. Sir Anthony Dominguez comes in for the Phillies, and he was awesome. You know, pitches like basically two innings, 17 strikes in 24 pitches, strikes out three, just kills the Astros' hopes until your friend, Sean, Altuve, Altuve got the little bloop infield single, real gutsily steals second with two outs. And then my favorite play of the game, and a game with, you know, awesome plays throughout, Nick Castellanos makes this nifty sliding catch in right field to save it and to put the Astros to bed, right? And then, of course, you get the home run by who? Realmuto. So it turned into his game in the end, which I thought was really fantastic. Then you even had, just to make it even better, you even had that weird final at bat. Now, Sean, you stuck with it to this point. So Diaz is up. It's two outs. And then he's hit by a pitch. But then the umpire's like, nope. You made no effort to get out of the way. And in fact, it looked to me like he leaned into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife and I were sitting there watching the game. And she goes, oh, no, he leaned into it. And I'm like, did he? And I'm like, did he really? She goes, oh, he totally leaned into it. You know, and I'm like, and then they showed the replay, and it was like, oh, you little son of a bitch. You pulled a little league thing, you know? And that
was like Don Baylor. It was like Don Baylor when he used to play.
He's
the all-time leader getting hit by a pitch. He was awesome for this because he was just this huge dude. And he just had to shrug a little bit and, you know,
take it in the side.
You know, no problem. Shrug it off, walk to first. You know? That's what Diaz was doing, but he, like, walked into it.
And for me, that was the first time I've ever seen that happen where the umpire said, no, come back here, little boy. You're going to finish this out.
That was pretty funny because that's exactly what I was thinking. It's just like, no, you're not getting away with that. You're gonna have to hit any ground up.
With the whole with the way the game went, I mean, do you think that the Astros just kind of blew their wad in the first three innings and then had no steam after that?
Technical term.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking from a medical perspective. the thing is, they went cold. They went cold. Look, they destroyed the competition in the first two rounds. I mean, one of the notes that I made was the Phillies scored more runs in five innings of this game than the Yankees did in the first three games.
Yeah.
Against the Astros, okay? The Astros have been killing on both sides of the ball. But in this game, six hits in the first three innings, three hits afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, this is the way baseball works. Baseball doesn't stop and end at the end of the game, right? This slump or this befuddlement that the Phillies pitchers had in relief is going to continue into the next game. There's no question about that. It's just, how long do they snap out of this?
Right.
Next game could be a very low scoring game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Because I mean, we've seen this happen so many times, you know, in playoff games and in the World Series, where you know, I mean, and the thing that kind of reminds me, and I heard some of the commentators last night talk about it, was how even the Angels came back, you know, from San Francisco in 2002, and they would come back, you know, four under or five under, and win the game. You know, and if you have a team that does that, you know, then it's still anybody's ball game because, you know, as my dad used to say, the game ain't over till the last out is called.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here they went into extra innings to prove that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a nail biter for a first game overall. So to me, the Astros, I think they kind of blew their wad thinking, oh, we're this, we're that, or whatever. And, no way. We kind of pulled the steam out from the Phillies. Dude, it's the third inning. You've got a lot more innings to go before the game's over. So I wouldn't count your chickens before they hatch.
Well, they've just been on this roll, right? They've just been scoring runs. I mean, it was what? Against the Yankees, it was 4-3, 5-6. In the four games, right? They're just scoring runs. And that continued in this game. But it's like I say, I mean, this first three innings was a culmination of the last whatever ever since they got out of the bye, right? So basically these last 10 games of the playoffs. Uh-huh. That's it. But see, now, again, I think they're going to have to contend with their bats gone cold. Now, by the time, you know, folks hear the podcast version of this, game two will be in the books, but Zach Wheeler is going for the Phillies. He had a decent season, 12-7, 282. But the Astros are actually 20 points worse against righties this year. So the Astros got a lot to think about here. I mean, if the Phillies pull this one out, game two, wow, they are in trouble. The seemingly unbeatable Astros are in trouble.
Now, how are the games split this year? Because we got, what, two in Houston and then three in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's 2-3-2.
Okay, and then 1-1 after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 2-3-2.
Oh, just 2-3-2. Okay.
Yeah. This isn't basketball.
Oh, okay.
they haven't gone to that yet.
Okay. Damn it. Oh, well.
No, that would be ridiculous for travel, especially in baseball.
Based upon what you've seen so far, Oz, how do you think it's going to go? Do you think it's going to go seven games, or do you think it's going to stay at five?
Well, you got to say we'll see, right? Now, the going into the thing, the lowest odds were on Astros in 5-6. Okay, so either one of those was your best bet going in. But now, I mean, I would say we're guaranteed six games. Even if the Phillies win today, I'd say this is going to be a six-game set. And I'm on the bandwagon. Phillies in six.
Yeah. Well, I'm rooting for the Phillies because ever since Astros cheated, I can't stand the team anymore.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Everybody's for the Phillies. And plus, you know, you get tired of these teams in baseball that you get tired of the dynasty type teams, right?
Yeah.
And the worst thing about baseball is dynasties aren't really dynasties. I mean, one of my favorite things to do to a baseball fan is go, okay, name a baseball dynasty that wasn't the Yankees. And there isn't one, right? 72 to 74 A's. when they had Reggie and Raleigh Fingers and Vita Blue and all those dudes. Okay, they won three World Series in a row. That's the only other team that's won three World Series in a row besides the Yankees. Mm-hmm. But you get these teams like the Astros that kind of hang around. Mm-hmm. They're in the Final Four, ho-hum. They win the division again. You know, you get tired of it. You get tired of it.
Yeah, you do.
You get tired of it. I like dynasties, but for some reason in baseball, these fake – there's too many playoffs. I mean, they keep saying it. Yeah. The playoffs were like, nah, they were interesting. The regular season was blah. And now this already one game. I'm all in yeah. on the World Series.
I'm thinking it might go seven. I agree with you. It may go six. I think it may go seven, but with the Phillies, though. I think it's going to be a battle, you know, constantly going back and forth. And it seems that's been the trend of late. Of the World Series is too going to the seven games.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Which is great because, I mean, to me, it's a true battle overall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and another reason why I'm rooting for the Phillies is because of our friend Craig Shoemaker, because that's where he's from, too. Okay. So
there you go.
Got to root for my buddy's team. So, Oz, always good to hear you, buddy.
Oh, wait. I got to get this in, too. Since all y'all got to brag about your creative endeavors, I just want to say, and this is relevant to the World Series, just put out another couple episodes of my podcast, Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer. And this episode, voice directed by friend of show Casey Summers.
Ooh,
you may recognize that then. And co-stars, friends of the show, Gerald Waters and Lyric Johnson.
Oh, nice.
Came into the studio a couple of times.
Very cool.
And I wanted to say this. We're talking about great World Series. In 1924, most people know that the 1924 World Series between the Washington Senators and New York Giants is one of the all-time greats. Went seven games, extra innings in the seventh, whatever. But that same year, there was also another great World Series called the Colored World Series between the Hilldale Giants of Philadelphia and one of the all-time great baseball teams ever, anywhere. The Kansas City Monarchs. These two, I now have two episodes about the White World Series and two episodes about the Colored World Series.
That's awesome.
And these latter two just came out. Casey, Lyric, Gerald, great show. People seem to love it. I've gotten some really good feedback on it early on. And wherever you get your podcasts, Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer.
There you go. Check it out, guys. It's a really good show because what Oz is kind of doing is taking us back in history and creating a fictional sports writer or whatever, but around actual events. It's really good. So please check it out.
Nice. Congrats, Oz.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, go Phils.
Yeah, exactly.
Bryce Harper.
Congratulations.
All right, Oz. Take care, buddy.
Sean, how have you been doing? You never got to tell us about your week.
You know what? It's been interesting. I'll tell you that much.
12-hour.
Well, okay. So a lot of you guys know that, and we've talked about it, you know, throughout the last couple of years or so, you know, since pandemic. I haven't worked since March of 2020. It was only until August of this year that I got my first job working for the Westminster Arts Academy. With Teresa Rios. It's her family-owned business. Great people there. Wonderful teachers. Starting to get some more, know the staff of the other teachers and everything. And then her front desk staff, April, Jackie, Fernando, are just fabulous people overall. And Teresa's just a wonderful woman herself and how enthusiastic she is. So been there since the beginning of August. Well, I had to give her some bad news, but I'm also loyal to her and I love teaching there. Mm-hmm. So I can now finally announce that I am now working for Yamaha Music Corporation.
Yamaha.
So, yep, I am working for Yamaha. So the people who make the motorcycles and
scooters
and everything, that's not who I'm working for.
Oh, dang it.
No, I'm working for the people who make all the instruments.
Are they separate? Are those separate?
Yes, they are.
They are.
They are separate. It's
okay.
All under one roof.
Okay.
But it's still very much separate.
Separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a separate divisions. So I am a customer support technician with them. This past week was my first week with them and everything. So I get to work from home, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it's nice because I don't know yet, but it's interesting working from home. Great people there overall. I wasn't too sure how corporate it was going to be, how stuffy it was going to be or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is very serious about their jobs, though.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a meet and greet online, and there is definitely a sense of humor within the office.
Oh, that's great.
My boss, we're all on camera, you know, doing the video Zoom thing. And he didn't show his camera yet or whatever until a little bit later in the meeting. And that's because he was getting ready to show off his costume. And so when his camera came on, he was wearing a costume of a hot dog.
Nice.
So I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. Now I know exactly how he is. You know, he's a cool dude. Mm-hmm. He's easygoing. He takes his stuff seriously, but you got to be careful because he could be a joker.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing with him. So it makes me look forward to working with these people later on in the office.
Mm. Yeah.
And the reason why I'm working from home is because right now they are working on making a new building in Buena Park. So they're tearing down the old building and they're going to build a new one.
Mm.
And once that's done, everybody moves into there. So if these people are still there and everything, it's going to be an awesome crew.
Oh, amazing.
And
yeah.
So it's going to be great and to have these jokes and stuff and everything and
cool.
Be fun, have fun with each other. So, but in the meantime, I get to stay in this nice little cubicle room that I've designed on my own and create. I mean, I got my own laptop. I got another screen here or whatever for it, you know. So, which is kind of cool, and everything's all remotely done into the computer. So, I've even got a little headset for my phone calls and everything. So, here it is here.
All right. Nice.
Tangled. I still got to fix everything up.
And do you go by Sean?
Good. So, my little headset, you know, so I look like an operator. Hello. How are you? You know, and everything. So, my hours now are 8 to 5.
Uh-huh.
Great job.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get paid weekly.
Oh, that's nice.
Work on a weekly budget, so it's going to be so nice. But then afterwards, I still get to work with the Westminster Arts Academy because all my students that were from 5:30 or before got moved to Monday nights and Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm off at 5, and then I start at 5:30 at my soonest with the Arts Academy. Thank God they're only 10 minutes away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday through Thursday, I work 12-hour days, basically.
Wow.
So, I have no life now.
Yep.
So, yeah, Nia's like, welcome to what I've been dealing with.
I'm like, there was a reason I missed 2 shows in a row.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Exactly.
Yeah, working all the time, totally get that.
Yeah. So, you know, doing that, then teaching, and Friday night's like my only night to myself, so to speak. You know, I've got you guys here Saturday mornings, which is great.
Woo!
I'm not getting rid of that. Then I've got Sunday afternoons and nights to myself.
Thanks for the
rehearsal on 1 o'clock with my other band and everything. So it's like going, when am I going to have time for anything? You know, so
busy.
Answer,
yeah.
Busy. No.
Yeah. So, but with that being said, and knowing that I now have a income coming in and everything and
Woo!
So forth. So I'm kind of giving myself a little bit of an early Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to show it to you guys, and I'll post it up on Facebook and everything later on.
Guitar.
Looks like it.
This is the guitar that I ordered.
And tell us what that
that's
is.
Like the 15th one in his.
just about. So if you guys are familiar with Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, he always came out with an acoustic double neck guitar. The early years, it was an Ovation. And you know, he always used that when they play Wanted Dead or Alive, or they did any TV shows, specials or whatever. You know, sometimes Richie would pull out the double neck, you know, for like a ballad or something like that. And then a few years afterwards, Taylor Guitars invited Richie to do to be a guest spot on one of their albums where they would do different artists, you know, with their guitars. Uh-huh. And they kindly asked, well, what's going on with Ovation? And Richard says, I don't know. I haven't spoken to them in about 7 years. And they go, well, would you like to try our guitars and endorse theirs? He said, absolutely. But you got to build me a double neck acoustic. And so Taylor did. They built two of them for him. So that is what I'm getting, is his version of the Taylor double neck guitar.
Nice. Ooh.
So the six string is on top. The 12 string is on the bottom, where normally it's reversed. And so that's the one I'm getting. And I've ordered it. I'm not going to say how or where, because I don't want to piss off Taylor. And
have you played a double neck before?
Yeah, well, I've got one right there.
Oh, you have one.
I do have an Ovation one that my wife got me.
Oh,
but it's it's reversed. It's a 12 on top and a 6 on the bottom. Now, Ovation, a year and a half ago, Ovation released, because Richie went back to working with them, and they actually released it as a product. So you could get his actual one when, excuse me, sorry, guys. So when that happened, I was saving money, trying to put a little bit of money away so I could buy it. Well, when it came time that I did have enough money, Ovation no longer existed now. Mm. So apparently a German company bought Ovation, has stopped all production, and now the guitar that people were selling for $1,500, which is not a whole lot. You know, I've got guitars in here that are worth more than that right now. Mm. When I was ready to buy it, they said, nope, all sold out. So I'm like, you're kidding me. I can't get the Ovation version even now. And now guys are selling it online as used, but now because it's such a collector's item, the price is now going what it should have sold for, which is about $2,500.
They marked it up, yeah.
So because it was originally supposed to sell for $2,500, yeah. But dealers were doing $1,000 off for whatever reason. I don't know why. But the nice thing was that all the proceeds from the purchases of all the guitars, though, went to charity, though. That was one thing that Richie made sure that happened.
Aw.
So, anyway, so then before COVID, I found a company, I can't say where, was going to be making them or was making a Taylor version of it. Mm-hmm. And so now I found that company again, and they're back up, and they're making those guitars again. So I just put in the order and ordered it and paid them. And
cool.
Hopefully come the first week of December or second week of December, I'm going to have a...
We'll have a live acoustic
a
concert.
Double neck. Dude, I can't
on
wait.
Air.
I can't wait. I mean, seriously, I really
cool.
can't wait for this.
That's
one.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I ordered it and everything, so I'm really happy about it.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And the other thing I'm worried about is what kind of preamp is in there. So to hopefully it kind of it's a decent pickup, you know, kind of a thing. They tell me it is. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So but we'll see. And if so, if I need to take it to a luthier or whatever to have something else installed to make it sound better, then I will.
Nice.
So that's my week overall.
Sweet.
So it's crazy.
Sweet.
So this right now, this doing this right here, this room, you, me,
yes.
I, her. All of it?
Yes.
This is a vacation for
this
me right now.
This is your chance to
this
relax.
Is my vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Even though I was up last night till like midnight working on the show.
Wow.
I'm like, this is a vacation. I love this right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
this is really, really
good.
All right,
good.
Nice. It's fun to be with our people.
Uh-huh. It is. It is.
People.
There was one thing, another thing I wanted to share with you guys, though, and I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but I guess McDonald's has been talking about the McRib and that this might be like the last year or something that it's not
ever.
Yeah.
No.
And they're talking about getting rid of it now.
Oh.
I see the guy on the screen and he is so funny.
Oh yeah. So it was on the Daily Show that this comedian, what's his name?
I don't know his name.
Oh, I can't remember his name right now. I apologize.
But he's so funny.
Isn't it
going to be on the screen somewhere,
not,
what his name is? I feel like that'd be important information to post.
Well, it's not Trevor Noah who talks about it. It's this other fellow that he had on the show.
I see.
So, and I had it, but I wanted to play it for you guys because it's really funny in the aspect of like how he talks about how good the McRib is, basically. So, this is from The Daily Show. Here you go.
All right, that's it for the headlines. But before we go, let's check in on the traffic with our very own Ron Wood Jr., everybody.
Ron Wood Jr., that's who it is.
Oh, Ron Wood Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Bud Light. Free beer. Free beer all over the freeway, just at I-20 on that off-ramp. Just, it's free beer. Yeah, take the truck. Get as much of it. It's Bud Light, but we'll still drink the shit. If not, we'll flip it. Yeah, we can make a lot of money. Hey, let me just right back. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's going on? Are you
traffic?
It looked like you were telling
free beer.
You were telling your friends to go and get beer from a truck that.
Well, no, to rescue the beer. The beer need to be rescued. I was listening to you, though. I was still listening to what you're talking about, man. You're talking about the Karen Link. Yeah.
No. Carrie, not Karen.
She still got a Karen haircut. So it's still.
All right, let's get to the traffic, please.
I'm going to get to the traffic. Also, the McRib. You said the McRib is gone. That's it?
Yeah, well
this is the last ride for the McRib?
They said they're going to cancel the McRib.
What did the McRib do? Did it say something about Jewish people or something? I thought the McRib is an ally. The McRib has been an ally for years and years. We all know why McDonald's canceled the snack wrap. We know what the snack wrap said. That made perfect sense.
I don't know. What did the snack wrap say?
I'm not going to repeat that on television. Also, you can't cancel the McRib. The McRib, you're talking about recycling. The McRib is friendly. It's it's good for the environment, the McRib. McRib is recycling. Did you know every McRib this year is just an unsold McRib from last year? That's how they do the McRib.
No.
That's how the McRib season ends, they put them in storage in a warehouse in Indiana, like Christmas decoration. They just put it up in the attic.
No, I don't want to think of that.
Also,
the Lord Jesus is looking for followers.
The Lord Jesus is looking for
This is not part of the McRib.
No, it's not. Ad.
Oh, my God. This is freaking ads, man.
I don't know what your relationship is with seasonal food, but the McRib come around every year, and that's joy. That's joy. The McRib, you know what the McRib is? The McRib is that uncle that show up once a year, and you have a good-ass time with that uncle. That uncle teach you how to fish. He let you sit in his lap behind the wheel so you can blow in that tube so his car start. He teach you about cocaine. This is a good uncle. He teach you all the ropes, and then he just disappears. And you miss him, but you know deep down, your life is probably better off without him. You won't do the traffic.
Yeah, the traffic. Thank you.
If anything, you know what McDonald's need to get rid of? They need to get rid of all that damn Shamrock Shake. That's what they need to get rid of.
Why would they need to get rid of the Shamrock Shake?
Damn ooze. It looked like some sewage. Sipping on sewage.
Well, they're getting rid of the McRib.
I just don't think it's right, man. If you want to get rid of something, man, get rid of all them other mystery meats. You're talking about the McRib, or do you get rid of all the other mystery meat? Beyond meat. Beyond what? Well, beyond. Oh, it's an impossible burger. If it's impossible, then how am I going to eat it? How am I going to eat the burger? If it's impossible. That's stupid. I don't know beyond meat. I don't know where impossible burger come from, but I know where the McRib come from, the rib. I know that. Half the time, the sauce do half the work anyway in the McRib.
That could be a dish bar.
Hell, I don't know. You want some traffic, though, right?
Yeah, because it's gone. It's gone now, Roy. So, yeah, let's do the traffic.
Look, I'm gonna be real with you, bro. I'm not worried about this. I'm gonna stay positive. Because you know, all the greats take a break, then they come back. All the greats take a break, they come back. Jay-Z took a break, retired, came back. Jordan took a break, retired, came back. Jesus left, came back. So,
all the greats.
The McRib is up there with the greats. The McRib better come back. In fact, let me just talk to McDonald's. I can't even talk to you. I'd talk to McDonald's right now. McDonald's, let me talk to Ronald. Hey, Ronald. How you doing, Ronald? It's me, Roy Wood Jr., customer of the month, McDonald's, Birmingham, 5 points west. Look. If you dare, as an organization, to certify the cancellation of the McRib, I will not accept those results. I'm gonna get a group of people together, and we're gonna travel, and we're gonna march down to McDonald's headquarters. supporters. We're going to McDonald's the first week of January to start the year off with a bang. You with me on that, man? You want to deal with me? We're going to storm the McDonald's office.
Marching in January, that sounds that's a familiar road.
No. This is a whole brand new plan. We're going to hang Grimace.
Look, what?
He ain't got no neck, but I'm going to figure something out, man. You coming with me, man?
I am not coming. I think we should cut this off. Let's just cut this off.
That's
here.
What I'm talking about. The media. As soon as you start talking about something, the media.
Oh, there you go.
Very funny.
Oh God, so good. Roy Wood Jr., man, check it out. We'll post it up also on our Facebook page, man. But oh God, that is just so good.
He's spot on though. The sauce is doing most of the work. I love the McRib, but it is sauce. It's a sauce sandwich with a little bit of questionable meat in the middle there.
Here's the thing that always scared me about the McRib, is that there's no actual ribs in it.
No,
but yet they have that white stuff. That looks like a rib.
And they sort of shaped it like as if there was rib. Yeah.
That's scary to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've never partaken. Is that?
I don't think I've partaken in it.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Maybe do they cut the meat off the rib and then make it look like a rib? I don't know.
No.
It's sort of formed and massaged into like a rib looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, facsimile.
I don't even want to know.
It's like a smushed rib patty.
Yes.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
And you can eat the bone. That's the scary part.
But the sauce is so good.
So get the sauce.
It is really good.
Is it not like their barbecue sauce? Is it a different sauce?
It's a much better sauce.
It's a better sauce. So then buy the McRib, scrape off the sauce.
Or just go into McDonald's and ask for the sauce.
Or
can
that.
I just have the
side
sauce?
Of
I mean,
McDonald's.
Sometimes they're like, no.
True.
No, well, hey, even if they charge you, because like I'll go in. And like instead of ordering a Big Mac, I will actually order two of the McDoubles. A, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll ask for Mac sauce on the side.
Mm.
And I just dip it in that.
You're hacking the system here.
Damn right I am.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you want to do like a surf and turf,
mm-hmm.
order a McDouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then order a Filet-O-Fish.
You're considering that surf and turf.
That's a surf and turf, baby.
Oh my gosh.
And put them all in one.
Get a little bib around your neck, and okay.
I think he's been to McDonald's a little bit too much.
Oh, God.
You know, has all the hacks.
Come on.
Is your cholesterol okay?
That's good. Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't tried to check for a while, but not that I go to McDonald's all the time, you know. But.
I'm just teasing.
Wow. Wow, wow.
You got the hacks.
But I mean, you know, the hacks, I mean, they work, and everything's off of the $2 menu.
So I'm asking for a friend. Are they available right? Are they available right now? McRibs.
I don't know if they are or not.
Okay,
we'll have to find out
because we got
to
know when the last hurrah is.
I thought they were literally ribs. I never tried them, but I've never tried one either.
We'll bring
sandwich.
Them in the studio next show, and we'll
you
have
do
one.
That.
Yeah, we'll try the sauce.
I'll try the.
Okay, so next week we're going to send Nia to McDonald's.
I might take a wrong turn.
Hey, you might take a half hour to get back. You never know. You never know.
Wow.
You know, but at least you get back, though. And then we try it. You try it on the air, you know. Let's see how it is. Oh, come on. That's good radio.
Fear Factor.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good podcast
actually,
right there.
It's funny. It's been like a year since I've been on the show, but I still pull up directions to get here. Because it's like 8 a.m. and I don't want to miss that. Like, I would miss that. I've taken non-directions and I would like miss that little turn coming into here. It sneaks up on you. If there's not a direction yelling at me, I'm going
to
miss that turn.
So, here's Nia basically. This is the music that she plays while she's on her way here. Where's the exit? Where's the exit? Where's the exit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. Reenactment. Yeah. Do you have a camera in my car?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I had to share that with you guys. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We lost a couple of legends, really.
Yeah.
I mean, hate to bring it down, though, but the first one is truly a legend, one of the last pioneers of rock and roll, and he's definitely led a very interesting career, that's for damn sure. But the great Jerry Lee Lewis has passed away now at 87 years old. The last originator of rock and roll has died in his home in DeSoto County, Mississippi, at the age of 87. His death was erroneously reported by TMZ on October 26th, but the outlet quickly retracted that story, apologizing and explaining that it had been misled
by someone claiming to be a representative of the musician. Well, on the morning of the 28th, though, 2 days later, it was confirmed that Jerry Lee Lewis had passed away due to his publicist had came out and said. And according to his biographer, Rick Bragg, Lewis's seventh wife, Judith, was by his side when he passed. He was reportedly battling the flu and had been unable to attend his October 19th Country Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Lewis's longtime friend Kris Kristofferson accepted the honor on Lewis's behalf and brought the award to Lewis's bedside. Of course, his nickname was The Killer. He was born September 29th, 1935. In Faraday, Louisiana, he began playing music at the age of 10 after his parents, Elmo and Mamie, mortgaged their farm to buy him a piano and attend piano lessons with two of his cousins, fellow future stars. I had no idea he was related to these people. Mickey Gilley and Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh. The evangelist?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh.
After gigging around Louisiana, Mississippi during the dawning of the era of rock and roll, he got his big break in 1955 when he traveled to Memphis to audition for Sun Records. With that similar label, Lewis began not only recording as a solo artist, but also working as a session musician for other artists on Sun's roster like Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins. Lewis was the last surviving member of the Sun Records Million Dollar Quartet. And the album Class of 1955, which also included Cash, Perkins, Roy Orbison, and, of course, Elvis Presley.
Yeah, they do a live show of that.
I got to see it.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, Million Dollar Quartet.
The Million Dollar Quartet.
Chuck Berry's about to play.
Yeah. And it's what's really nice about it, it's that one night only kind of a thing when they all four of them got together and where Jerry Lee was the newest kid on the block. And it's based off of the famous picture also of the Million Dollar Quartet. It's an amazing play. I got to see, my wife gave it to me for a gift. I think it was for Christmas last year.
Yeah.
And we went to go see it and oh my God, it was so cool. All the actors, they sing, they perform. There's a live band on the stage and everything. It's all set up as if it's a recording, as if you're in Sun Records.
Yeah.
You know, it's, get it, go see it, please. Yeah. I mean, it is so good. And, of course, you're hearing a lot of great music from Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and, you know, and it's just amazing. It really is an amazing play. So, anyway, so, of course, Lewis played the Grand Ole Opry. There's so many different accolades that he's done. Through his career, his last thing that kind of did, he did in 2006, he did a duets album called Last Man Standing, which featured collaborations with admirers and disciples of him, like Jimmy Page, Bruce Springsteen, Neil Young, Robbie Robertson, John Fogerty, Ringo Starr, Rod Stewart, Eric Clapton, Don Henley, and the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ron Wood. I mean, that's no slouch right there to have all those people that you influenced.
Yeah.
On your record. You know, and I mean, to me, if there was a Mount Rushmore of rock and roll,
you could put him on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, there would probably be about seven people on there, though, for me, instead of four.
You have to have four in Mount Rushmore.
Nah, it would be seven. It's got
to
be seven.
You're going to add three heads to Mount Rushmore?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because to me, you got to add the Million Dollar Quartet. So that's the four already there. You got to add, you know, Chuck Berry to it as well. You know, okay, maybe just five. Maybe that's all I need is just the five.
Okay, just one hand.
Yeah, maybe just the five. But because, I mean, those were, I mean, the people that started all. Oh, Fats Domino, maybe. So six? Yeah. I'm telling you, I might need the seven.
All right.
I might need the seven.
It's going to take a few more decades to carve out those heads.
Well, no, because Fats Domino was in the 50s, too.
Okay.
You know? And, oh, yeah, here's my seven, Bill Haley.
Okay, Bill Haley.
Because he helped start it off with
Buddy Holly.
Oh man, that's tough
a lot
one.
Of heads we're carving out here.
Yeah, we are.
All right.
Yeah, we are. You know, I don't.
Sorry.
What was
Nia? Nia's getting wants to be on the Mount Rushmore now.
Like... for a moment there, I don't know why, but I thought she was singing the theme to Sanford and Son.
No, I was like, I forgot the song, but it's like da da na na, just like Buddy Holly.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Weezer.
Yeah.
Weezer's not on the rock and roll Mount Rushmore, but
I heard Buddy Holly and yes, the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, the song just came up in my mind. Bam bam bam. I'm not a big fan of Weezer, but like. You know, the song came up in my mind. I had to sing it.
Yes.
Yeah. No, which is fine, but it for whatever
which
reason,
is fine.
It reminded me of this though.
Sort of. I was singing kind of softly.
But this part right here.
That's Nia driving on the freeway, looking for directions. It's the exit.
Okay. you know, right outside this, like, area where it's the, you know, like, the little turn that you have to take to get into his little community.
Yeah, correct.
It's so, yeah, you just.
It's hidden a bit.
Yeah.
A bit, yeah.
You can drive. There's been times where I've been late because I've, like,
passed it.
Missed it. And I was like, my directions, it wasn't on, like, the sound.
Yeah. But we're going to miss Jerry Lelos.
Yes, yes, yes. Another talented person we lost this week.
Dude, this was shocking.
Leslie Jordan killed in car crash after suffering medical emergency. Beloved actor, writer, and singer. At the age of 67, TMZ reported Jordan's death Monday, October 24th, after suffering a medical emergency and crashing his car into the side of a building. Jordan's agent, David Shaw, said the world is definitely a much darker place today without the love and light of Leslie Jordan. Not only was he a mega talent and a joy to work with, but he provided an emotional sanctuary to the nation at one of its most difficult times. What he lacked in height, he made up for in generosity and greatness as a son, brother, artist, comedian, partner, and human being. Yeah. Knowing that he has left the world at the height of both his professional and personal life is the only solace we have today.
Yeah.
A native of Chattanooga, Tennessee, we know him from perhaps the stage production of Sordid Lives, from...
Yeah.
Will and Grace, Murphy Brown, Boston Public, Boston Legal, Pee-wee's Playhouse, and
That's right, he was in that, yeah.
And most recently, The Cool Kids, which was a very funny show, and Call Me Cat,
I know a couple people that.
Yeah, you said you knew.
Yeah, third season on Fox. So Leslie Jordan at the age of 67.
Yeah, the production shut down a couple weeks.
Yeah, they got to figure out what's going on then.
Yeah, to just, like, you know, figure things out. But,
calling the writers.
Yeah, I know one of the PAs, and then Clifford goes in and DPs for them. I think he's done it a couple times. But, it's really sad. I've heard that, like, he's just a joy to work with.
I mean, I haven't heard a negative thing about him. Of course, you don't really blurt that out when someone's passed. But, I mean, when they're that down and friendly and generous, whatever, they're good people. Here's the sad thing. How old was he?
67.
Okay. I saw something the other day regarding him. Apparently also, and this broke my heart when I heard about his passing. I guess he had just bought his first home at the age of 67.
Really?
Oh. So earlier this year, he had just bought his first home. All these years, I guess he's rented.
Mm.
And he bought himself a condo. And now it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Yeah. I just felt so, my heart sank when I heard that, because
that's a big deal.
It is. It's a very big deal. And to be, in this business that long, I was kind of surprised that he didn't have a home or whatever, or his own home. But renting all these years, I guess, and then to finally purchase his own home and to be proud of it. I mean, he did an Instagram thing about it or whatever, and he was so happy and everything. And then now to find out, he's passed or whatever because there was something going on with his body, and then that caused the car to crash.
Yeah.
I think, did he get I think I heard he had a heart attack.
It could be. I haven't looked that up though, but they said it was something caused it or whatever, and then the accident didn't help. Crashing to the side of a building, of course.
Yeah.
So, I just feel bad for
that.
But we lost another. Yeah, we lost another good one. We lost another good one.
Oh, yeah.
But the good news is, though, is that if you guys are having a Halloween party this weekend, as most of us may be doing. Oh, yeah. You're going to be bubbling some drinks.
Is that a witch's
Bobby
cauldron?
No. Present.
Absolutely. So I think, Nia, you've got some really cool drinks that we can tell people to make.
I do. Nice.
See, I can be Casey.
I know. You're dancing. You guys might be the same.
I can tell the weather, too.
Might be the same cup size.
Maybe. You never know.
Nia.
Wow.
The drinks are flowing.
So, we have the Sleepy Hollow cocktail, which is pomegranate, tequila, and rosemary orange syrup.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That really sounds good.
Yeah. Pomegranate and orange, sounds like an interesting mixture of flavors that works. It's not something you would guess, I feel like, but it sounds good. And then there's the Half-Blood Prince cocktail.
Ooh!
Ari!
I know, with, Hagrid dying, two or three weeks ago. I'm like, ah! Yeah, so there's one-fourth cup pomegranate juice, 1 1/2 ounces of bourbon, 1/2 ounce raspberry liquor, Chambord, juice from 1/2 lemon, 1 teaspoon pure maple syrup, more or less to taste, and pomegranate arils?
Arils?
A-R-I-L-S?
Arils.
Arils for serving? Is that like the seeds?
I don't know. I don't know. Google it.
Google it. Okay, and then we have a witch's brew drink, which is a Midori, a Japanese melon liqueur. Oh my gosh. What?
That's going to taste like a Jolly Rancher green apple.
I'm just trying to figure out how to pronounce this next word. Corn trio?
Oh.
Cointreau.
Yeah, you put that in margaritas also.
I see. Or triple sec, an orange liqueur,
right.
Fresh lemon juice, dry ice, which is optional. And it says read all the safety information below first. Jesus. Well, oh. We do not include any safety.
Well, dry ice, you want to be careful with that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Don't use the dry ice. You're already drunk. Then we have boozy pumpkin pie shooters, which has 6 ounces of eggnog. Where are we going to find eggnog in October?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be coming into the
store soon. Oh, it'll be coming into the stores,
yeah. I guess. I don't know. If you can find eggnog.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, good luck to you. And then there's 3 ounces of Tito's Handmade Vodka, which was a sponsor for Newport.
Okay.
They have lots of drinks. And for the film fest. And then 5 teaspoons, tablespoons. I think that's a big difference.
Yeah. Yes, you want to make sure.
5 tablespoons of pumpkin puree, because teaspoons, I don't know. And then 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. Oh my gosh, there's a Black Widow drink.
Ooh.
Black Widow smash. So like no Hulk smash this time, just like...
No, Black Widow.
Yeah.
Well, she's a lot prettier, so...
Fair. Okay. So
there's no She-Hulk, but you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So there's 8 fresh blackberries, plus more for topping. 1 to 2 teaspoons. Fresh rosemary. What's a sprig? Plus a sprig for serving.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what a sprig is.
A sprig.
Like a little sprig. Yeah, a little sprig.
Little sprig.
Just a little sprig, you know?
Yeah.
You just take your fingers, just like, just
sprig.
A tiny bit. Yeah.
Sprig.
The spriggin. Yeah. You know, you just do a little spriggin at your Halloween party.
Yeah.
Just 10 sprig. So, juice from 1/2 lemon, 1 to 2 tablespoons, honey, 1 1/2 to 2 ounces tequila or mezcal, a couple dashes. So we have a sprig and a dash. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Not to be confused with a pinch.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or a smidge.
They're all
correct.
Different.
Yeah.
All
correct.
Different.
Yeah.
You know, all the cooking lingo.
Know your measurements.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Know your measurements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sprig versus the dash.
Correct.
Do you cover that in your cooking school?
Mm-hmm.
Important info we need to know. Call in. Anyways, sparkling water for topping. Sorry, that was a really
high pitch. Have you ever heard the song?
Oh, yeah. Friendly little people eater. I've just never seen this animation for it. And then he swung from the tree and he lit on the
ground and he started to rock, but really rocking and rocking. Yep, the years when nostalgic songs were coming out.
Yeah.
Right. What else we got?
Okay. So, there's 2 more, but I think I'm just going to choose 1. So, there's the Poison Apple Martini, Black Lava Salt, which I have never heard of before.
Neither have I. I want to find
yeah,
out what that is.
The Google. So, Black Lava Salt or coarse black sugar for rim, which is optional. There's 1/2 cup apple cider, 2 tablespoons of pomegranate juice, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 2 ounces vodka or apple vodka, 1/8 teaspoon activated charcoal for coloring. Could also use black food dye optional.
Mm.
So you could eat charcoal or use black food dye. I don't know. Yeah, and then dry ice optional. I don't know about giving that to drunk people. But, you know, that's just me. It's just like how I don't trust, like, drunk people near water. I think that's just, like, a recipe for disaster.
You won't give a drunk person water?
No. I'm saying, like, near water. I'm saying, like, near the ocean.
Oh, near bodies of water.
Yes. I think drunk people near bodies of water is just a recipe for disaster.
Like, you should give them a bottle of water.
Yeah. No, a bottle of water is necessity.
Yes.
But by bodies, oh, my gosh, Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
You found that special part of YouTube where these songs live.
Oh yeah.
This special part.
Gotta admit, this is actually a pretty cool version.
What does this come to?
Are them's the drinks? Is that all the drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Wow. A lot of dry ice here.
I know.
Yeah.
Safety instructions online. We do not provide. Yeah. We are not responsible for any injuries with the dry ice, and we do not recommend.
No, no. And please, in all seriousness, people, please be very, very careful with drinking and using dry ice with anything.
Yeah.
Basically.
Especially,
I mean,
like,
it's
charcoal.
So.
Like, what?
So dangerous.
Eating charcoal? Eating activated charcoal? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, drink safe.
Yeah, drink safely, absolutely.
Drink safe.
Absolutely. Sorry, I love this song.
I know, you're just like jamming out. Sean's like...
I mean, give it an upbeat version. This is actually pretty cool. You know, so they did a really good newer version of when the movies came out and everything. So I always like it. It's kind of cool. Anyway, I don't know if you guys saw this in the news recently or anything, but Pope Francis was telling nuns and priests to kind of cool it with watching pornography.
Mm.
You know, and
you know, it's an epidemic.
Apparently. And he warned against the dangers of having a temptation in hand, no pun intended here. But Francis was answering a question about digital and social media. And when he turned to the subject of explicit pornography, you know, things kind of got, I don't want to say out of hand or whatever, but it kind of changed the tonality of everything. So on the phone to talk to us about this a little more, so yeah, is none other than Pope Francis himself.
Hello?
Hello, sir?
Bueno.
Pope Francis?
Yes?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Is this Sean Roberts? Is this Sean in Forest from the Your Weekly Doctor's Podcast?
Yes, sir.
Available on Spotify and other places you get your podcast.
Yes, it is, sir. Thank you for coming on our podcast. It's such an honor to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me, my son.
Well, you're welcome, sir. I've really never had a chance to talk to you before. Should I just call you Mr. Pope?
What? My last name is not Pope, so why would you call me Mr. Pope? That does not make any sense. It is not a good idea, my son.
Okay, you're right, obviously. How about Francis?
Oh, come on now. Am I your buddy? Are we just two bros chilling on the beach under a large umbrella? Is Snoop Dogg next to us drinking a Corona? Are we wearing tank tops eating the Hebrew National hot dogs? What are you? I know you may not call me Francis.
You know, you're right. You're totally right. That's very informal. How about just Pope?
Sure, whatever. Eventually, I need to get on with this phone call as well as my life, my son. I cannot play this name game with you all day long, you know. I have things to do. I am the Pope.
I totally understand. Okay, well, let me just ask you my question here,
okay,
so we can kind of...
Okay, one more question.
The other day, you were talking about, you know, social media and how pornography is a vice that so many people have, even priests and nuns.
Yes.
How do you know right now what the priests and nuns are watching in their own rooms?
That is very simple, my son. It's because most of the computers that we have in the Vatican are being, you know what? I'm not really liking just Pope. I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. So don't call me Pope, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry about that. What about, how about Pontiff?
Wait. You know that one has been thrown around before, but there's something about it that makes me cringe a little. It reminds me of Pontius Pilate, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it sounds too close to the word plaintiff. Am I on trial here? Huh? I don't want people to think of courtrooms or jury duty. Okay? I'm not so cray-cray about pontiff.
Cray-cray.
Yes, it's a new term.
Well, would it be better if maybe I used your holiness?
I guess that could work, but at the same token, it's a lot to live up to, after all. It's not like I'm traveling the world curing the blind, like you know who. I'm just here chilling in my robe with my big pointy hat and my glass car, or sometimes my small hat, or my medium-sized hat. I have lots of hats here. Telling the people of the world to stop being greedy. That's what I do. I buy a homeless person a sandwich once in a while. You know, Jimmy John's or something. Come on,
Jimmy
people,
John's.
Now. Smile on your brother. Try to love one another right now. You know, big rock fan. They should be on the Mount Rushmore of But anyway, ease up on watching the porn. I mean, after all, the church is not telling you to breed like rabbits, are we? Are we?
No, absolutely not. Okay, maybe we could try this one on for size. How about father?
No, no, I do not think so. I mean, do I look like I have a dad bod? Look at me. Are we on the radio? Anyway, am I telling you you have curfew? Do I go on and on about, oh, I can't wait for you to move out so I can convert your bedroom into my special man cave? No, I'll never get around to it because I threw my back out a few years ago. My knees are shot to hell. Oh, excuse me. I should not have said that. I refuse to see a doctor because real men don't admit they're sick. So, no, I am not your father, Sean.
Okay, well, listen, look, we're starting to run out of time here. So what if I just simply called you Pope Francis?
That is fine. That will do, Pope
okay.
Francis.
All right, so regarding you telling priests and nuns to stop watching porn, how is it that you know what they're watching in the privacy of their own rooms?
Well, you see, my son, but don't call me father. So far, I've taken some steps, as small as they are, to update the Catholic Church's sexual mores. You know what mores are?
No, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll go on. Of course, the church views pornography as offensive to choosing chastity and to watch it from your computer or iPad or tablet or wherever you get your podcasts or even your phone with that tiny little screen. I ask, oh, wait a minute. How about Your Excellency? Call me that. That would be nice. I really like the sound of that because it implies that I am excellent.
Yes, I suppose that would work too, sir. But apparently we're running out of time, so I just wanted to thank you for calling in and helping me understand why it's kind of bad to watch pornography.
Good. I hope I explained it well. You know, back to my name. I like it, my son. Now, somebody that we both know is going to make themselves some new business cards when they get back to the Vatican.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
I'll be updating my Instagram and my Facebook profiles to Your Excellency. At me. At me, Nia.
At you. Got it. Understood. Understood, Pope.
Well, bless you, my children.
Bless you too, Pope. And thank you for calling in.
No problem.
We appreciate that.
Goodbye.
Okay, take care.
You know, in certain parts, it almost sounded like Doofensmirch was calling or something. Like, it was kind of misleading, you know?
He drives that Popemobile 5000. I think he is a...
Doofensmirch?
Yeah, the Popemobile 5000 is a little Doofensmirch in him, maybe.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was, you know, as we're going through that, I'm going, oh, my God, I'm missing a page. I thought I printed it out. No, I just had it behind here.
Oh, did you? Oh, you had it?
I had it.
Oh, good.
I'm like, where did it go? So
I thought you did a pretty good interview with
him. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Oh, my gosh. Well, should we play the game then?
The game.
Let's play the game.
All right. Let's go ahead and do that. Where are you?
Where are you?
And now the game that everybody wants to play except Pope Francis because it's only on Pornhub. Quiz me.
Where you?
All right, and of course we have intern Christopher out there going to give us all the questions.
Yes, I will. It will be very
all
good.
All right.
And because Halloween's all around the corner, literally and figuratively, because, you know, trick-or-treating, we got some Halloween-themed questions over here.
Love it.
Nice.
All right, let's begin with question number one. What is the most popular costume for pets to wear?
Nia. Hot dog.
No.
Damn.
Forest.
That is the second most popular, though.
Oh.
Forest.
Witch.
No.
Oh. Wow. Okay, down to me. The most popular for dogs, you said, right?
For pets.
For pets.
Which might as well be dogs, but yeah.
Pets. For pets, I'm going to say Sean skeletons.
No.
Oh.
Forest.
A pumpkin.
That is correct.
Yay. Hey.
All right, question number two. Which movie tops Rotten Tomatoes' list of the scariest horror movies ever?
Ooh. Oh, Ron Tops, Rotten Tomatoes.
Forrest. The Exorcist.
That is correct. Oh. He's 2 for 2 right now.
That is pretty scary.
That's why I've never watched
Ooh,
it.
Oh, that's a good
one. Yeah, especially if you're religious or brought up strict Catholic, it will scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. Absolutely.
Question number 3. What has been voted as the worst Halloween candy?
Sean. Candy corn.
That is correct.
Oh, hearsay.
He got that one immediately, like,
yeah.
I like candy corn.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
I thought it would be black licorice.
Yeah. That was probably that, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Probably. Almond Joy.
All right.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
The coconut.
Which U.S. state produces the most pumpkins?
Mm. Oh, Sean.
Sean.
California.
No.
Damn it.
Nia got it.
Wait,
in there
you
me.
No, you
go
said a syllable. Yeah,
let's
yeah.
go for
it. You said
fine. Massachusetts.
No.
Nia. Oregon.
No.
Ooh.
We gonna go through all of them?
The starting letter.
Yeah.
Is an I.
Sean.
Nia.
Sean.
Idaho.
No.
Forrest.
Nia.
Oh.
Indiana.
No.
What did you say?
Idaho.
Oh, Iowa.
No.
Nia. Illinois.
That is correct.
Yay!
She got one. We're
I'm
so happy.
I'm really good at reciting state names.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to almost all of them.
Oh, congratulations. Question number 5.
He was like, I don't care.
Yeah. I know. Congratulations.
All right. Move it on, so. What year did the first haunted house open?
Ooh.
What year did the first ever haunted house open?
The Hallelujahs?
Sean.
1955.
No.
Everything seems to happen around 1955.
Yeah, I was thinking like post-World War II.
A bit earlier.
Forrest.
Earlier.
Forrest.
1952.
No, keep going back.
Ooh.
Nia.
1945. No, keep going back.
Going back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sean.
Going back
1940.
Bit.
No, you guys need to go back somewhat decent amount. You are
really?
It is in the 1900s.
Okay. Forrest. 1922.
No, but we are getting closer now.
Wait,
Sean.
Above? Wait, more
still below.
Or less?
Still below.
Sean.
Let's go Nia first and then Sean. Let's see what Nia has.
1918.
No, you are not the closest, Nia. Sean?
I'm going to say 1908.
No, Nia's the closest, though.
1912.
No, go a little bit higher.
Do I hear a 14?
1915?
There we go.
Whoa.
Look, we actually won one.
1950. Really? The first haunted house, 1915?
Yeah. It was in England.
1950.
Ah. They really murdered people.
Yeah, it was across the pond.
Oh, yeah.
1915.
Jack the Ripper was the,
yes,
was the host.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
All right, question number 6.
What famous...
movie franchise which was originally going to be titled The Babysitter Murders?
Sean.
Halloween.
That
is correct.
Yeah.
How can you not call it that?
Question number 7.
I love that one.
Number 7, sorry.
What's the most popular Halloween costume in the U.S.?
Ooh.
Quick hint.
Sean.
It was said earlier. Sean.
Pumpkins?
No.
Forest.
Witch.
There,
you got it.
I totally did not even know what the question
was. That
was
for me.
All right, question number 8.
What was the question?
Most popular
Halloween costume in the
U.S. Oh, nice. I told that
Listen
one.
To the show later. You'll get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Spotify.
Listen to the playback.
You know,
download it.
My
on the go.
Zone out moments are always the best planned. Well, exactly. They're not planned. Oh, hello.
Sorry. All right.
When was Monster Mash released?
Oh my gosh.
5 minutes ago we heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty convenient if you ask me.
Mash. Sean.
Sean?
Oh god. 1957?
No, but that's pretty close
Damn.
Though.
Forrest. 62.
That is correct.
Oh my god.
That was a specific number too.
It was.
Yeah.
I did.
Because I know he did perform it on Dick Clark's American Bandstand.
I was gonna guess like 70.
Alright, question number 9.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Which 1984 song returned to the charts on Billboard's Hot 100 in October of 2021?
Forrest. Thriller.
That is correct.
Wow.
Look at Forrest.
Great
Forrest
video.
Forrest is going great.
I think Forrest went card. How many chances are we?
I don't know, but I like Halloween. So
we got 10th question paying
off.
Last question right here.
All right.
This will probably be the trickiest one, so you got to get your thinking caps on. prior to pumpkins, which root vegetable did the Irish and Scottish carve on Halloween?
Sean. Squash?
No.
Damn.
Forest.
A potato.
No.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you got something.
A carrot?
No.
That spooky carrot there.
No.
I don't know.
Rabbits everywhere. We're running away from the carrots.
No, funicular.
It starts with a T. Because potatoes are so scary. Tomatoes?
No, it starts with a T.
So a root,
so tomatoes,
a root with a T.
Forest.
Turnip.
That is correct.
That's where I was going to go.
Yeah, turnips.
I was like, tomatoes. Oh, how wow. are you going to carve a tomato without a bloodbath?
I think we can all agree Forrest won that game.
Bloody wow.
How many did you get?
He got 6.
Oh.
Damn.
Halloween time.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, brother.
Thank you.
6 out of 10. You went card, baby.
Tis the season.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We didn't get to a couple of things, but maybe we'll talk about them next week, so tune in, because you never know. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at yourweeklydose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Hey, check out The Black Hand Reaper, my son's film. It's on the Liftoff Film Festival. Just Google Liftoff Film Festival in Program 1. Check out The Black Hand Reaper. Please, it's for my son.
Yes.
Mia, Caitlin Ketstiver on Instagram and on YouTube, The Passion Project Volume 1.
And guys, don't forget, we're playing Cats in the Cradle by Ugly Kid Joe. Why are we playing this song today? If you want to win a Your Weekly Dose t-shirt, email your answer to us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. And who knows, you might get a free shirt from us. In the meantime, don't forget to listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio on the East Coast there, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on our other favorite affiliate, which is on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Fridays. And if you guys enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow this podcast without you. So please help us spread the word about our show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbors. We dare you to do it. So, all right, until next week, guys, have a good one. Take care and be good to each other.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.